Millions of people have changed the way they see life itself because of Elizabeth Marshall Thomas. Among her many books, The Hidden Life of Dogs and The Tribe of Tiger make clear both her extraordinary powers of observation and her gifts as a storyteller. What's more, Ms. Thomas's wisdom illuminates all her work. Her bestsellers have carried her fame far beyond the confines of anthropology, where she's also admired. But what about the hidden life of Elizabeth Marshall Thomas? It, too, is full of wisdom and surprises.
I do believe in an afterlife, and I know that I'm going to have one. But it will not be of the body. It will not be of the mind or the spirit or anything like that. It will be of the body. And that is because we are made of particles. The particles that make us up appeared right after the Big Bang. Same particles, still there, changing, occupying different forms and shapes, of course, as time goes by. But I may have particles that were in a dinosaur. I like to think I do. Maybe blue-green algae. That would be nice. Maybe some bad person that I wouldn't like to have, but you can't choose. So, what will happen to me is, of course, my ashes will be tossed at the edge of the field, and at that point, the grass will, my molecules will go up into the grass. A deer may eat the grass. A mountain lion might eat the deer, and I would love to think, I like to think that I could spend part of time, part of eternity, as part of a molecule in a mountain lion. That would be very nice.
Elizabeth Marshall Thomas's family were the first white people to live among the Bushmen in the Kalahari Desert in the 1950s. She documented that unique experience in her book, The Harmless People. 50 years later, The Old Way captured what has remained the same and what has been lost almost forever. They live in the present, we live in the future, she says. Ms. Thomas has written two captivating novels about our prehistoric ancestors, plus The Social Life of Dogs, The Hidden Life of Deer, and perhaps my favorite, Certain Poor Shepherds. Now Liz Thomas turns her keen eye upon herself in an autobiography she calls A Million Years with You. The surprises just keep coming. Elizabeth Marshall Thomas, we had the pleasure many years ago to speak with a biblical scholar who had looked at all of the Hebrew Bible and what the Christians took on as their New Testament. And in the end of and he'd done this for 30 or 40 or 50 years. The end of it, I said, okay, that's fine, Professor, Sir, Doctor, Reverend. But what would this historical Jesus you're interested in have said to us now? And he said, well, he really thought about this question as if it hadn't been asked of him before, which startled me. I think he would have said, have more parties, we being social creatures. And I'm quite sure he would have said, say yes to life. When people say, oh my goodness, you know Elizabeth Marshall Thomas? What's she like? I say, well, she's one of those people, one of those rare people I know, who says yes to life. Now, you've just written an autobiography and have had a chance to look back at that incredible life. Isn't there something to this say yes to life idea?
There certainly is. In fact, some of my advice to myself is let go of the grievances and you'll be much happier if you do that. And that's, I think, saying yes to life. And I think it's fun to say yes to life. Jesus, if that is in fact the case, was absolutely right.
On to something. Well, I say that because there is such a wide variety of experiences and places and dimensions to all the things that you have done, and you really, it seems to me, you don't have to pick one thing to say what's best, except you do say there are two things that are a real good start. Marry the right person and find the right work.
Yes.
Say that to me and tell me why you say it.
Well, it supposedly came, Freud said it to start with,
Really?
Allegedly, yeah. I don't know. I never read Freud. I heard it from the guy who was the keeper of the elephant barns in the Portland Zoo in Oregon, in the Washington Park Zoo in Portland. And he had the right work. He was this keeper of these wonderful elephants. And he had this wonderful wife. And so maybe it came from Freud, but for me, it came from him. And he was completely right.
How
yeah,
fitting.
It was fitting. Yeah.
Many people know you as you relate to dogs. Many other people know you as you relate to cats. Many other people know you as you relate to our hunter-gatherer forebears. Many other people. The list goes on and on and on. Where do you start, other than being born, which you picked your parents pretty well too, didn't you?
Yeah, I did a great job of that.
For which you claim all credit, right?
Yeah, I claim. They say you pick your parents, or I've heard it said that, from a spirit world somewhere, you choose your parents.
Well, you did a
congratulations.
That's not an irrelevancy in as much as they all play so much into your own story.
Yeah, we're acting as if people know who your parents are, and we don't. Tell us who your parents were.
Okay, my dad, his name was Lawrence K. Marshall. He was the founder of the Raytheon Company, which he did that about maybe 8 years before I was born. And
at the time,
something
that company
like
that was doing what?
Oh, I don't know what they did at first. They made radio tubes. Then they made radar for the Navy during the war. And at that point, that would be in about late 40s. Mm-hmm. And he retired. He'd been there for 20 years or more, I guess. And he decided to go to... He loved the woods, the wilderness. He loved wilderness. And the place where I'm living right now, where I'm sitting, was the old barn of a farm he bought. And also he wound up buying many neighboring farms. This was in the 30s when the farms people were giving up farming for number of reasons. And it wound up as a large piece of 1,700 acres altogether of conserved land. That is his feeling about, but that wasn't enough for him. he got out a map of the world, and this is in the late 1940s. There were places in the world then that were unexplored, quote unquote unexplored. One was was Antarctica. One was parts of Tasmania. And one was the kind of lower western third of South Africa.
You mean they weren't on the map?
The countries were on the map, but the interior, there was a huge 120,000 square miles of the interior that was unexplored. And the map showed just a blank. It showed a latitude and a longitude.
In the old days, it would be here dwell dragon.
Yeah, that's right.
Also known as terra incognita.
That's right.
Or incommunicado.
But truly, the white people, what we would think of as the developed world, didn't know what was there?
No, well, they knew it was bushland. They knew it was very little water. There were people who had... A couple of people had been, the white people or non-Bushmen. Bushmen had been there. I mean, to say it was unexplored is ridiculous because they'd been there for at least 35,000 years, which was found from archaeological findings, but probably 150,000 years would be more like it. So they knew every single inch, every insect and berry in that space. But nobody else did. I mean, there were no maps, no nothing. So my dad decided to go there, and that was the one he chose. And I'm glad it wasn't Antarctica.
Well, part of that decision must have been informed by your mother's love of nature too.
She loved nature, but she loved animals. She was an animal lover. I don't think the appeal of doing that was my father was very much the leader. He was the head of the family. He was the boss. We did what he wanted. That's how we did it. She did, and kids did, and everybody. So okay, we're going to Africa? Okay, we're going to Africa.
How old were you and your brother?
I was 19, he was 18.
So you still were under the wing, and Dad says, and then you do?
Oh, yes.
Did that impress you as hardship duty?
No.
Did you resist that at all? Or?
I liked the wilderness, too. Yeah. I was glad to go.
Beat going to school, didn't it?
Yeah, beat going to school.
You also had grown up with an active interest in the wilderness and the wild. You've been taught by some animals you had learned from. So those early years, both Dad said, and everybody said, yes, sir, but not in an unkind manner.
Oh, no.
Talk a little
well, you
about
had
what...
a canine au pair, which is unusual.
Oh, what?
We had a canine au pair. A big Newfoundland dog. She was, before I was born, she was the dog. So she knew me from birth, and my brother, too. And she was very protective of us. She was like a nanny. We had a real nanny who my brother did a terrible thing. He locked her in, there was nobody in the house except the nanny and me and my brother. She went into a room to look out the window. He quietly took the key out of the door, key to the door and locked it.
How old was he?
We were young, really young. Like,
giving him an excuse.
I mean, not 50. No, we
30,
were...
35.
We were 35. We were probably 6, something like that.
Okay.
And so the nanny began to scream and pound on the door, and he had lost the key by then, so there was nothing that could be done. We heard somebody pounding on the front door. It was a stranger. You're not supposed to open the door to strangers. So we just sat there. But evidently, it was a person who had heard her calling for help. And he went to the neighbors. The neighbors found my parents. My parents came back deeply upset. We couldn't find the key. But they called a locksmith. The locksmith couldn't come quickly. So my dad threw a rope up into the window, a clothesline, and she pulled up a basket of food and water and a potty.
You're not joking!
No, it's this. And finally the locksmith came and let her out, and she was furious, and she took it out on my poor parents, and she quit. And after that, my parents were not, they never said angry things to us, and they never hit us or slapped us or punished us. But this time, we had to spend months in our room alone with nothing to play with, and we had to eat our meals in the back hall, which was gloomy.
Made an impression, huh?
It was to be away from the society of decent people. We no longer belonged in the society of decent people.
Well, fast forward to the Kalahari, I think they were ahead of their times. At least another hour's worth of things to be said. Let's come back in just a moment with Elizabeth Marshall Thomas.